Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the local show that's all about the issues of aging. How do we age? How do we take care of each other? How do we take care of mom and dad? How do we pay for it? Who do we decide who's going to be in? How do we decide who's going to be in charge? How do we make wise decisions about the issues of aging? Welcome to Assets and Aging, California's single best resource on the issues of aging. Glad to have you here. Glad that you're a part of all of this. Welcome to our new time. We've been on 21 years on KFPAK, but been on in the morning, and here we are at 7 o'clock on Sunday nights. And I'm really glad to have you with us. Glad to have you join us. Glad you're here. I just like doing the show. I have to sit down every week for an hour and do this, and part of the thing that makes it fun is coming up with the stuff to talk about. And there's never a shortage. I have lots of stuff to talk about today, but first let me get some housekeeping out of the way. Hi, I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one that knows what they're talking about when it comes to long-term care issues. I have a California insurance license. Doesn't mean anything, but I have to tell you that. I don't sell insurance. I haven't in years. I have a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County, California, which allows me to prepare wills, trusts, and other documents at your direction and request. Yes, I can do that. I'm not securities licensed. I'm a notary. I don't know. I have a driver's license. It's probably some other stuff in there, I should say. But everything we talk about here is my opinion only, and only my opinion. And should never be taken as any form of legal, tax, or financial advice. That said, when it comes to long-term care planning, you've reached the spot. This is it. This is the gold standard for everything that happens. Whatever else you hear is not the gold standard. You know, I had somebody come to me today, literally today. I was in an attorney's office, and we were talking to one of the clients, and the client says, well, you can't help me. And I said, why can't I help you? And he said, well, I went to the Medi-Cal website, and they said there was a 5-year look back. And I said, they did. Well, that's not true. He said, well, no, it was on the Medi-Cal website. I said, I don't care. It's not true. There's no 5-year look back in California. Well, but it said that. I don't care what it said. It could say the moon is Swiss cheese. I don't care. That doesn't make it true. There's stuff out there everywhere, folks, and a lot of it is simply not true. So we're going to try to figure out the good from the bad and the ugly today as we begin to talk about the issues of aging. Let me give you some contact information for me. Write it down. Now, if you're driving down the road, don't write it down. If you're not driving down the road, write it down. My phone number. And yes, even if it's in Sacramento, it's an 800 number. It's been an 800 number for 35 years. 800-999-8007. 800, me and James Bond. 800-999-8007 is my phone number. My website is assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, aging.com, assetsandaging.com. You can go to my website, you can cruise around, there's all kinds of stuff there. You can sign up for my free newsletter. A little great newsletter went out this week with, what, 4 links to it, to articles? You can listen to my podcast every Wednesday on my website. I just did a podcast this last Wednesday. I'll do one next Wednesday. I try to do one every Wednesday on some, you know, pertinent, important type subject. You can follow me on Facebook. I have a really good Facebook page. You can go to Facebook.com/assetsandaging, and it's really terrific. And about 2 or 3 times a week, I do a Facebook Live where I do a live video talking about something that has piqued my fancy that week about long-term care. There's just all kinds of things happening all the time, and this is the place you want to be. This is where we answer the 2 questions. Who's going to take care of me, and how am I going to pay for it? Or it could be mom. Who's going to take care of mom, And how are we going to pay for it? Who's going to take care of Dad? And how are we going to pay for it? Who's going to take care of Grandpa? And how are we going to pay for it? Who's going to take care of me? And how am I going to pay for it? You don't know the answer, you're in deep trouble. You need to know the answer. And you need to know the answer in 10 seconds. If you don't know the answer in 10 seconds, you have a problem. So we're going to talk about all the issues of aging. Again, you can call me, 800-999-8007. You can go to my webpage, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com. You can sign up for my upcoming workshop on the 9th. It's free. It's limited to 12 people. I already have six, I think. For the 9th, it's a Saturday. It's 10:30. If you've never been to one of my workshops, you've never been to a workshop on long-term care. I don't care how many workshops you've been to. None of them are like me. None of them. So make sure you get to my website, sign up for my workshop on the 9th, and I'll email you a ticket. Or if you don't have an email, I'll mail you a ticket. You can call my 800 number, 800-999-8007. Okay. I have got a bunch of stuff to talk about today. And they're in no particular order. But I want to start with one. I got to find it here. That's so good. I can't tell you how good it is. This is such... I gotta separate it here. This is such a great article. I put it in my newsletter. I talked about it on my blog this week. I talked about it on Facebook Live. If you go to my Facebook page, Facebook/Assets and Aging, my Facebook Live this week was on this article. And some of you, as I read you this article, you're gonna start to cry. Because you're going to think I'm talking about you, but I'm not. This is really, really important. I mean, I can't tell you how important this is. And I can't, the light I'm in, I highlighted this in yellow, but I'm in, you know, a fluorescent light, or sometimes you can't see it. So bear with me. This is from the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal is the only newspaper in America that does long-term care issues, senior issues on a regular basis. I get at least two articles a week out of the Wall Street Journal. Literally get two articles a week out of the Wall Street Journal. This is one of them. If you don't get it, you should, because it's really important. And even if you have to pay... For, you know, I subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. I get the print and the online edition. I have an app. But even if you have to pay to get this article, pay to get this article. And again, one of the reasons I read the Wall Street Journal is because it's the only, and I mean only, newspaper in America that regularly deals with long-term care issues. Now, the title of this article, and you can go read it, and I want you to listen to this. Don't stop driving, but put your pencil and paper down. Put your mind on passive and just absorb what I'm about to read to you. And yes, a lot of it I'm going to read to you. This is an article by a lady named Claire Ansberry. I've actually written her an email telling her that I thought this article was brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. If you get my newsletter, you already have seen this. You have a link up. My newsletter's free. And when you go to my website, not only can you get my newsletter, but you can subscribe and get access to 25 videos, blogs, white papers, all kinds of stuff by simply subscribing to my webpage. But again, this is written by Claire Ansberry. She's anything. She's a writer for the Wall Street Journal, and I've written her, wrote her back. She said thank you for your kind thoughts and all that stuff. But I thought this was such a good article. Claire Ansberry, Wall Street Journal, October 26th, 2019. I give them full credit. But this is something I've been talking about for years. If you have cancer, and you tell your friends, I have cancer, everybody goes, oh, how can we help? How can we make it better? How can we make your life better? We're so sorry. We'll be there to support you. If you have a heart attack, everybody goes, oh, yeah, we need to, let's draw around. When I had a knee replacement, everybody came around and said, oh, how you feeling? How's everything going? You know, friends kept coming to the house. But if you have the wrong disease, it's like the parting of the Red Sea. If you have the wrong disease, dementia, people stop coming. People no longer want to be your friend because you're weird. You say funny things. You do funny things. And that's what this article is about. But I could, on my best days, probably not have done this well. I've talked about this in the past, about having the wrong disease. And she did a great job writing this. So I'm going to read some of this to you. And I just want you to listen. And as you're listening, I want you to think of that person in your family or that you know or that you love or that you care about that has dementia or Alzheimer's. So this again, an article by Claire Ansberry, October 26, 2019. You can look it up and you can buy the article. It'll probably cost you $5 to buy the article and print it out. I read it. It's called After an Alzheimer's Diagnosis, Friends Stop Calling. When Keith Moreland, 58, was diagnosed in the early stages of Alzheimer's in 2018, yes, you can get Alzheimer's at 58. I think the youngest known case is 26. I've had clients in their 40s that had Alzheimer's. It's called early onset Alzheimer's. When Keith Moreland, 58, was diagnosed in the early stage of Alzheimer's in 2018, he noticed that friends stopped including him and his wife, Sherry, on outings. I have heard this story a million times. Maybe not a million, but a lot. I would see all these posts about had a great time with so-and-so, says Mr. Moreland, a former inventory analyst who now works with his wife at their consignment boutique in South Carolina. We're never invited to be a part of that anymore. Maybe I don't remember some stuff. And it took my breath away when I read this. Let me read this sentence to you again. Maybe I don't remember some stuff, but I'm still Keith. He's still a human being. He still has a name. He still has feelings. He still can hurt. He can still cry. He can still laugh. He's still Keith. Many people diagnosed with dementia experience the same feelings of being left out. A recent global survey found that 38% of those living with dementia in high-income countries like the U.S. report feeling avoided, ignored, ostracized in their social lives. And I'm surprised the number's that low. This is a really, really common thing. When somebody gets the diagnosis of dementia, or it literally, folks, is like the waves parting and you're left standing alone all by yourself. Friends don't come over as much. Family doesn't come over as much. Neighbors don't come over as much. I call it friendship divorce. I have lost a fair amount of people in my life that I one time considered friends, wrote one respondent, while another said, people tend to run when they learn you have dementia. See, it's not an okay disease. People with dementia are weird. They do strange stuff. They act funny. Sometimes they smell funny. Sometimes they do things that are strange. People tend to run when they learn you have dementia. And that's absolutely true. Such reactions partly reflect a lack of understanding of the many stages of dementia. A lot of people think that when somebody has dementia, they've been declared incompetent. That's not true. There are lots of people with dementia who are pretty functional. Pretty functional. In the early and mid stages, that can go on for years. They continue to work. They continue to volunteer. They continue to travel. It's part of who they are, but doesn't have to define them. On average, a person with Alzheimer's disease, and I've said this in my workshop for years, one of the most common types of dementia, lives 4 to 8 years after diagnosis, but can live as long as 20 years. That's why taking care of someone with dementia, folks, is such an incredibly hard disease. It's such a hard job. It needs people around. It doesn't need people to disappear. It needs them around. We don't want to hide behind that we can't say the word. You know, it's like Voldemort, he who shall not be named. There are people who won't even use the word Alzheimer's or dementia. They'll just call it a little memory loss. It's a disease, but it's the wrong disease. We don't accept this as a disease. It's in the brain, and he's gone, you know. We don't accept brain diseases. We don't accept mental illness. We don't accept brain diseases. We think people are faking it. Trust me, nobody with dementia is faking it. It's not a disease you go out and fake. And notice, it said from diagnosis. Remember, before Alzheimer's is diagnosed, it wasn't Alzheimer's. What was it? It's just a little memory issue. Dad's just a little forgetful. He forgets where his keys are. He forgets the grandkids' names. He's just a little memory problem. By the time we get the diagnosis of dementia, Alzheimer's, we may have had dementia for 3, 4, 5 years. And yes, Alzheimer's can last for 20 years. And yes, let's put this to bed right now. Alzheimer's is a terminal disease. You will die of Alzheimer's if you don't die of something else first. Yes, you will. The stereotype persists that everyone with dementia is old, feeble, and acts strangely, said Jerry Taylor, 76, who was diagnosed with a mild cognitive impairment in 2012 and subsequently Alzheimer's. Those who define themselves by doing things the right way and being courteous and neat are afraid that people with Alzheimer's might show badly, said Mrs. Taylor, who lives in New York. I'm reading from the article. And worked 45 years, listen to this, in the long-term care industry. Her own friends, she says, have remained close, but not all of them. The friendship divorce goes both ways, said Greg, a 69-year-old journalist who was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's about 9 years ago. So he was diagnosed at about 60. He's lost friends who he says slip away because they are afraid and don't know what to say. He has also walked away from some. I don't spend time with people who don't seem to understand the journey. I don't judge them or hate them. I just stay away from them. His close friends circle the wagons around him, he says. They approach him, hug him, say, "Hi, Greg, it's Jim." If he seems withdrawn at a gathering where the noise and conversation are overwhelming, then they touch his shoulder or a hand to let him know they are there. A simple hug or touch is so important in Alzheimer's. I don't know how many of you have ever been in a nursing home. I've been in a lot of them in 35 years. And one of the things I do whenever I go into a nursing home, as I walk down the hallway, and there are people there sitting in wheelchairs because they're sitting there so they don't catch pneumonia. They're not sitting there because the nursing home is cruel. As I walk along the line, I always touch them and say, "How are you?" And sometimes they'll respond back. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes the response back is unintelligible. But you know what? It gets a response. You talk to other people. "Oh, yeah, I would never go in one of those places because there's all those weird people in there and they're just sitting in wheelchairs." They're not weird people. They're human beings. And a touch goes a long way. So who in your family are we talking about so far? Who in your family are we talking about so far? Brian Van Buren, I'm going to let that one go. In South Carolina, the Morelands wanted friends to know about Keith's diagnosis and began telling them starting with their church, which was a big part of their lives where he played the bass guitar. They have a picture of him in here. Good looking guy. Looks like he should be playing a bass guitar. Mr. Moreland made the announcement. By the way, I'm reading from an article by Claire Ansberry in the October 26th in the 2019 Wall Street Journal called After an Alzheimer's Diagnosis, Friends Stop Calling. Mr. Moreland made the announcement after services while everyone was still in their pews. He wasn't sure how his fellow churchgoers would react. People stared and went the other way, he says. The pastor avoided the subject. Eventually, the couple changed churches. The reception wasn't much better when he mentioned his diagnosis on Facebook. Of his 200 Facebook friends, 7 responded. There's a lot of stigma around Alzheimer's. People don't know what to do or say, Mr. Moreland says. Some have said, don't worry, I forget things too, which to him is like telling a cancer patient, don't worry, I get sick too. They don't get it, says his wife, Sherry. He doesn't just forget things. There are times he doesn't know where he is or how he got there. And the article goes on, but I don't have time to go through all of it. I recommend you read it, and then I recommend you share it. And then I recommend you try to catch the underlying meaning of all of this. The underlying meaning is, what happens when it happens in your family? And it's going to happen in your family. Dementia is going to strike every family. In some families, it strikes a lot. I have 2 cases right now where husband and wife are both in nursing homes. It's not uncommon, it's not rare to have dementia. And it's a disease. We don't know what causes the disease. We think we do. We play around with ideas. Nothing's worked so far. We think we get close, then we're not close. It doesn't matter. It is what it is right now. So the issue is, when Alzheimer's or dementia comes calling on your family, what's your plan? Do you have one? I do. I know a plan that'll work for your family. It's called having a plan. Every family's plan is different. It's not the same as the guy next door. That's why I get so angry at these hotel trust mills that come into town, because it's one size fits all. And I'm here to tell you, it's not one size fits all. So when this hits your family, and it will, it's going to hit grandma or grandpa or mom or dad or you or your husband. It's going to hit somebody in your family. Then what's your plan? Who's going to take care of you? Who's going to take care of you? And how are you going to pay for it? If Alzheimer's can last on average 8 years and up to 20 years, that's a long time to take care of somebody. So if mom was going to take care of dad and dad lives 20 years and mom died 10 years into it, who takes care of dad the last 10 years? I don't have an answer for you, folks, but I know it's a question that needs to be addressed. It's something that you need to come to grips with. It's something you need to be real about. It's something you need to sit down and talk about. I suggest you start by coming to my workshop on the 9th. It's free. It starts at 10:30. It's here in Sacramento. You can sign up on my website, assetsandaging.com. If you don't have the web, you can call me at 800-999-8007. If you can't wait that long, if you're dealing with this now, then call me or email me today and get in to see me. The consultation is free. I had someone in my office today that has gone through all of a parent's money paying for care, and now they're in a nursing home and there's nothing left, and it didn't need to be that way, but they were told it had to be that way. In fact, the nursing home that they're in told them they better have a plan B in 20 days because their parent couldn't stay, which is not true. If you've been told that, if you've been told there's spend down, if you've been told there's look back periods, if you've been told you can only have $2,000 or you can only have this or only have that, don't believe all of the naysayers. Somebody told me today they looked on the web and there was I looked on the Medi-Cal website and there was a 5-year look back. No, there's not. A lot of the stuff out there isn't true, but if you're dealing with somebody with dementia, don't walk away from them. Friends are going to stop calling when it happens. Don't be one of them. Don't forget that person is still there. They may be changed, but that person is still there. I've got more to come in the second half hour. During the break, give me a call, 800-999-8007, or go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Sign up for my workshop. Get in to see me. Get a copy of my book. Become a follower on Facebook. But get the information that you need. Become a subscriber to Assets and Aging. We'll be back here in just a few minutes. Got lots more to talk about. California's single best source for information on the issues of aging. We'll be right back. Stick around. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the local show that's all about the issues of aging. Glad to have you with us. I have a bunch more to talk about today. Thanks so much for joining me this evening. Don't forget, I'm Bob Scrivano, your host. You can contact me several different ways, directly by 800 number, even in Sacramento here. I'm in Sacramento. It's an 800 number, 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Or you can go to my website, Assets and Aging. That's ASSETSANDAGING.com. You can fool around in there for a little bit, look at information, look at stuff, figure out what you can do, what you can't do, what some of the myths are, where their help is available. Become a subscriber. Sign up for my workshop on the 9th. My next workshop is the 9th of November at 10:30 in the morning. It's free. It's limited to 12 people. So you have a chance to make a difference in your family's life. Those are the best ways to get a hold of me. Again, or you can always just call me and get into my office. And let's talk about making sure your family doesn't lose everything just because you have the wrong disease. There's no reason for anyone to spend down. There's no requirement to spend down. There's no anything to lose everything. It doesn't have to be done. Some other stuff that's come up this week. I get this stuff everywhere, folks, and this week, this showed up in three different places. It's all from one place, but it showed up in three different places, and I'm not even going to tell you the different places. But basically, it showed up in Kaiser Health News originally. I've got two of the same thing in one place, and it's frail nursing home patients told to relocate as their Medi-Cal plans cut off payment. I can't make this stuff up. I can't make this stuff up. There's two places, and I could have gone to eight, and it's there. And nobody will understand what it means. And they're like, oh, well, the old people, oh, well, it's old people in nursing homes. Oh, yeah. Do you ever try to find a nursing home bed right now? You can't find one because nursing homes have locked people out. Even though they have beds available, they won't let people in because they want rehab. Only want rehab because rehab pays $1,000 a day and private pay pays $400 a day and Medi-Cal pays $300 a day. So they'd rather be half empty and keep people who need to be in out. Don't get me started. Nursing homes are engaged in refusing care to people who need care just because of corporate needs to make some money. I'm telling you, and I've said this for a long time, block grants and managed care of Medi-Cal is only a heartbeat away, and I have two articles here that prove it. Frail nursing home patients told to relocate as their Medi-Cal plans cut off payments. I'm going to read from this article. This is from the California Healthline, which I think is Kaiser. Some of California's most vulnerable nursing home residents, many of whom have nowhere else to go. They got nowhere else to go. Where are they going to go? Where are they going to go? I don't know. Where are they going to go? If you have some brilliant idea as to where they're supposed to go, let me know. In one notable example, 36 nursing home residents in San Luis Obispo County were informed on the same day that their Medi-Cal managed care plans were cutting off payments for nursing home care. The county's long-term care ombudsman. The residents included a 68-year amputee with diabetes, memory loss, and kidney disease who required dialysis 3 times a week, and an 82-year-old man with congestive heart failure and diabetes who wasn't strong enough to transfer himself from his bed to his wheelchair. Now, this has got nothing to do with the nursing home. It's that Medi-Cal ain't paying anymore. The California Department of Healthcare Services, boy, there's an oxymoron, healthcare services. Please don't get me, never mind. Which administers Medi-Cal, the state's Medicaid program for low-income, no, it's called Medi-Cal and Medicaid. For low-income people, it's not for low-income people. So the terminations by the managed care plan, SenCal Health, were isolated, a perspective some long-term care advocates share. SenCal said it was just following protocol, examining the books to make sure members still met the qualifications for long-term care under Medi-Cal. Well, don't you think a double amputee would meet the requirements for long-term care? So much of this stuff, folks, is undefined and unregulated, and we have a legislature that wants to regulate bottled water in airports but doesn't give a you-know-what about old folks in nursing homes. I cannot tell you how angry. This legislature just has forgotten old people a long time ago. They don't care. Old people don't vote. A double amputee in a nursing home ain't going to the polls. And they don't care. They just look at the stuff that comes out of the state legislature and tell me where it is about compassion for nursing homes closing their doors to old people. I just got to be really careful here or I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. But I've been doing this for 35 years, and I've seen this coming for a long time. This is headed toward managed care. California Healthline interviewed multiple long-term care advocates and legal aid attorneys on the Central Coast and other parts of the state who said they have witnessed an increase in coverage denials for nursing home residents covered by Medi-Cal managed care plans. They worry such denials may soon become more commonplace. Medi-Cal nursing home care in all 58 counties will be placed under managed care beginning in January 2021, the state announced recently, up from 29 counties currently. Under managed care, the state pays plans a monthly rate for each recipient to provide all the medically necessary services the person needs. Who decides what you need? Doctors don't go to nursing homes anymore. Your doctor doesn't go to the nursing home. So who knows what you need? The doctor that put you in the nursing home isn't treating you anymore. It's a nursing home doctor who's under contract to the nursing home. He's not your doctor. He's the nursing home's doctor. Oh, take a deep breath, Bob, and calm down. Okay, along with that article, here's another one. This is coming, folks. I'm telling you, if you're not prepared and you don't have a plan, you're dancing through the graveyard. You just really are. You're pretending it's not going to happen. Article this week. I forget where I got this. I think the Sacramento Business Journal. Raley's is closing 27 pharmacies in Raley's, Bel Air, and Knob Hill locations. Why? They can't make any money. Because the Medi-Cal reimbursement rate is so low. They can't make any money. That's true. That's happening all over California. I'm telling you, it's happening all over California. This is all moving to managed care. When people talk about single payer, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know. They don't understand what single payer means. Managed care means somebody that's completely unrelated to you is making decisions. So I read that the people who were kicked out, one of them was a double amputee with diabetes and dialysis or something. So some managed care guy sitting in an office somewhere who's working for the insurance company is going to decide what he needs? Well, I don't think old Fred needs a real wheelchair. I think he could get by with a transitional wheelchair, you know, the kind we use for moving people over to a van or that. He doesn't need a real wheelchair. Well, but he's got no legs. He's a double amp. Well, but that's okay. Somebody could help him get in or out, and it costs us less money. That's what managed care means. I know people for whom the generic of a drug won't work. If it's not the name brand, it doesn't work. I've known lots of people that the generic simply doesn't work as well. I know it's all supposed to be the same, but it doesn't work. Half the pharmacies are in China, but that's a subject for another day. And so all of a sudden, well, we aren't only going to pay for the generic. Well, yeah, but the generic doesn't work on this guy. Well, but under managed care, that's what we're going to pay for. We're going to pay for this because we bought it really, really cheaply from a guy on the top of a mountaintop in Peru, and he said it was really good. It means you've the most frail above among us will have their care placed in the hands of a total, complete stranger. You don't believe me? Go look this stuff up, folks. The stuff I'm getting from you, I have a Google alerts for Medi-Cal and for VA benefits and some others. And this stuff pops up, and I see it from three or four different sources, and I read it because I think it's important because three or four different sources have picked it up. So I'm not making it up. So when are you going to get prepared for this? I don't know. Might just want to start by coming to my workshop on the 9th. And I think this is my last little gem for the day. Let's see, have I gone? I want to make sure I didn't miss anything. I hit the pharmacies. I hit this one. There were actually two different places where the nursing home denials in California raised concern about a larger move to managed Medicaid. It is getting almost impossible to find a nursing home that will take an old person now, even if they have. And here's the other thing, and you might as well know this. In the industry, it's called heads and beds. All the corporate owners know is we have 100 beds. How many heads are in those beds? Because heads and beds mean revenue. That's all that matters. That's literally what it's called, heads and beds. So how many heads are in beds? So you can walk into a nursing home, and your dad needs a nursing home, and he really needs a nursing home. And this is happening all over California. It's happening in the good nursing homes, the ugly nursing homes, the in-between nursing homes. And you walk into the newest nursing home in town. In fact, won't even take Medi-Cal. It's the newest nursing home in town. It won't take Medi-Cal. Private pay only. You. I'm not even going to tell you how much the private pay rate is at this place. I'm not going to tell you. And the reason why is they want to be a rehab facility. They don't want to be a long-term care facility. So you can walk into any nursing home today, and you're going to say, my dad's a double amputee. He needs to be in a nursing home. Well, we don't have any beds. Well, when I was walking in here, I noticed there were four empty beds. I know, but those are rehab beds. What do you mean they're rehab beds? Well, they're for rehab patients only. Well, I know, but they're empty. I know, but they're only for rehab. They're not for long-term care or intermediate care people. They're only for rehab people. Well, why is that? Well, because rehab pays us $700 to $1,000 a day, and Medi-Cal pays us $300, and you're going to pay us $400. So even if we're half empty, we make more money. So therefore, we don't want... The worst day in a nursing home's life is when a hospital calls up and they don't have a rehab bed, because they won't get a return call. It's almost impossible now to get somebody directly into a nursing home without going through a hospital first. And then when you do get somebody in a nursing home, they're going to tell you you have to leave at the end of 20 days, which is a lie. There's actually a directive from Medi-Cal recently that says it's a lie. There's actually a court case called Jimmo v. Sebelius that says it's a lie. But that's okay. They're still doing it because corporate wants to know how many heads and beds. I know a nursing home here in town who was recently told if they took any long-term care patients, they'd get fired. The corporate owners only want rehab patients. They don't want people who are really sick because that takes more work. and more salaries and more people. So we don't want to really take care of people who are sick. We want people we can rehab in 10 or 15 days, make them a little better, make a lot of money, and get them home. If you don't believe what I'm saying, just do a little research. It's not hard if you do a little research. But the days of what used to be a relatively simple transition are now unbelievably hard. And more and more and more and more and more and more. You need to understand that this is what's going on in the real world. Now, my last little tidbit. Not forever, but for see, what I told you, this stuff comes up all week long. I have stacks of it stashed everywhere. I go through it about once every 6 months and nail it down from a 1 foot high pile to a 3 or 4 inch pile. Right now, I'm recording the show, next to me is a printer, and on top of the printer is my stack of stuff, and it's probably 3 inches thick now. It was out of hand. I couldn't get the lid open on the printer copier. So this is from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Ooh, CMS. CMS.gov. The federal government's health care service. It manages all Medicare and all Medicaid, Medi-Cal. All of it. It manages all of it. Can you imagine how big this bureaucracy is? And this is the one that everybody says they want to do single payer by just doing Medicare for all. Now, here's why you got to read, folks. You can take my word or my opinion or not. I don't care. This is from October 21st, 2019. And it's the CMS blog, The Future of Medicare Program Integrity. The Future of Medicare Program Integrity. Okay, that sounds like, okay, what's Medicare going to be like in the future? Is it going to go broke? Is it going to be okay? What's going to happen to it? I better read this. So I did. I don't know how many pages this is. This is about 7 pages long. The 7th page I threw away for some reason. Must not have anything on it. So it's 6 pages. And it's by Seema Verma, Administrator, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And it's entitled, The Future of Medicare Program Integrity. Now, you would want to read this, because if you're on Medicare, you want to know, are they going to go broke? Are they going to run out of money? Are your premiums going to go up for Part A? Is Medicare supplements going to become? What's going to happen? I want to know. Don't you want to know? I want to know. So we're going to read it. And this is available, just Google CMS blog, The Future of Medicare Program Integrity, and you can read it. I don't ever make this stuff up. I subscribe to this stuff. I get them when they come out, anything from CMS. And here's what, earlier this month, blah, 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 blah. And again, it goes through 3 pages. When Medicare was signed into law 54 years ago, there were only 19 million beneficiaries. Today, there are 61 million. And we are adding 10,000 new enrollees per day. Now, stop and think about that for a minute. I just want, you know, there's somebody said a long time ago, it was Mark Twain, I think, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics. Well, this is statistic, but listen to it. 54 years ago, when Medicare started, there were 19 million people on Medicare. Now there's 61 million people. Now, since in the last 54 years, so that's three times as many. Has our population gone up that much of old people? No. Somebody else is on Medicare. And we're adding 10,000 new people every day. So that's 3.6 million new people added to the 61 million people every year. So 5 years from now, there will be 75 million people on Medicare. Now, Medicare and Medicaid accounted for 2.3% of federal spending then. These government programs now account for 23.5% of federal spending. 1/4 of all federal spending is Medicare and Medicaid. Now, remember, this paper is on program integrity. So just given what I read you, what do you think the conclusion will be about Medicare? Well, we have witnessed exponential growth in the number and types of providers included, the types of benefits available, the number of claims processed and paid. It's just like you can get Medi-Cal to cover veterinary expenses now. Most importantly, the number of dollars involved. Now, so it says the way to curb all this is to stop fraud and waste. Yeah. You're adding 10,000. You're adding 3.6 million people a year to the rolls. And the way to stop it is with fraud and waste. That's how you're going to stop the growth of Medicare. But here's what I want to get to. I'm going to get to the last page. You know, like somebody told me today, don't show me the roadmap, show me the destination. Okay, that's a variation of what they said, but I kind of liked it, so I stole it. So here's what it said. Here's the last page. Simply stated, CMS must elevate program integrity, unleash the power of modern private sector innovation, whatever any of that means, by the way, prevent rather than chase fraud, waste, and abuse through smart, proactive measures. We don't know what those are, but that's what we need to do. And unburden our provider partners so they can do what they do best, put patients first. Yeah, just like the guys I was reading about earlier, that the same CMS, never mind. Got kicked out of nursing homes because Medi-Cal, never mind. For these very important reasons, we seek and welcome input and expertise from all stakeholders on how to best improve our program integrity strategy and tools as we strive to protect both taxpayer dollars and the health and well-being of beneficiaries. In other words, they have no idea what the future integrity of Medicare is. I couldn't make it up if I tried, could I? You couldn't, if you said something this stupid, nobody would believe that a government agency, but I just read it to you. And it's right from the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services. So my point is, you know, there's an old saying, I think my grandmother used to do it, and she'd do it in a German accent because she was, her father was German, and she'd go, Vigo grow too old, too soon old, und too late schmat. That's the way my grandmother would say it. My mother. And that's exactly what's happening. We're not staying smart enough to stay up with what's happening as we grow older, because the world is rapidly changing around us. 24% or no, what is the number I read the other day? 40% of all the world's people are 24 or younger. If you don't think that's a revolution in the making, you're not paying attention. 40% of all the people in the world are 24 or younger. We're going to ask those 40% to pay for the other 60%, and it's not going to happen. And that's exactly what we face here. Japan is already facing it. Other countries are already facing it. Declining populations, older populations. It's happening. All we have to do is look, and if we want to look, we'll see what's coming. Or we can pretend it's not. You have a chance to make a difference in your life. You have a chance to plan for this. You have a chance to be prepared. You have a chance to at least know what your options are. I think that's a good start, knowing what your options are. And the best way to do that is to give me a call, send me an email, get to my workshop on November the 9th at 10:30 in the morning. It's free. And we're going to talk about how to plan for long-term care and how to plan for the future a little bit and what works and what doesn't work. What's it worth to not lose everything? I don't know. You tell me. I was with somebody today that they've lost everything. So 5 years ago, what would it have been worth to them to know that today they wouldn't lose everything to the cost of long-term care? What would it have been worth? If I had charged them 50% of it with everything they owned 5 years ago, it would have been a bargain because they'd still have 50% left. So what's your choice? Your choice is to do nothing, hope it all works out, or your choice is to be proactive, get in to see me, get to a workshop, get to my website, get a hold of my book, Navigating Frailty. Do something, but start to make a difference. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Go to my website, assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, A-N-D, A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. You can become a subscriber and you'll have access to my premium section. You can go to my Facebook page, Facebook.com/assetsandaging. You can watch my videos there, my weekly Facebook live broadcasts. You can listen to my podcast. You can listen to this radio show. If you can't listen to all of this radio show, it's on my website and you can listen to it there. But begin to make a difference in your life by staying informed, making sure you have a plan for your family's life to answer the two great questions as I age. Who's going to take care of me? And how am I going to pay for it? I want to thank you so much for joining me, at my new time. I hope this is informative and helpful to you. If it is, drop me a note and let me know. But again, thanks for joining me here, right here on KFBK, 21 years, right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Look forward to seeing you in an upcoming workshop or in my office. Have a great day.